I'm going to be preaching from Hebrews chapter 13 today, and I encourage you to turn in the Bible in the chair in front of you, if you will. Hebrews chapter 13, it's on page 1010. Before I begin preaching, I do want to make reference to this. I encourage you to come to either the 10 o'clock service next week or the 4 o'clock service. Let me tell you a couple of things that you might want to know. One of those is it's Sunday, and so some of you are like, well, I've got to go to church on Sunday at 10 o'clock, so be here and come at 10 o'clock on Sunday. Some of you are like, no, we always do a Christmas Eve gathering in the evening, so come. That's fine, too. You could come to both of them. I'm probably going to say similar things at both of those. Things will be a little bit different, but not much, so feel free to come to one of those or another. I will mention this as well. At our 10 o'clock service, we'll probably have a time of communion. So if you want to be a part of that, that's going to happen at 10 o'clock, as well as we will probably do the candlelights at 10 o'clock. Now, as you notice, it's kind of cloudy outside today, and so it'll be all right for the 10 o'clock service, but at the 4 o'clock service, hopefully it'll be dark and a little more, and so if you really like to see the candlelights, then come at 4. So you have a choice if you want to have a choice, and I encourage you to invite somebody. As made mention, sometimes people will come on Christmas Eve when they never come another time of the year, so hand them a card this week. There are some more out in the foyer, and I encourage you to invite someone here on this for next Sunday. Now, I also need to say this. Last Sunday, if you were here, I preached a message about praying for us as a staff, and thank you for doing that. I have had numerous people say, hey, we pray for you, and we just want you to know, which means that more of you are praying for us. And so if I came across last week like nobody's praying for us and get with it, I don't think I did. But if I did, I apologize for that, because I know that you are praying for us, and we continue to pray for you. And so I just want to say thank you for praying for us. It's kind of a, as I made mention last week, it's kind of a reciprocal thing. We received, I encouraged each of you to take out your bulletin and write a prayer request. We received over 60 prayer requests last week. And so we sat right over here on Tuesday, and we prayed through each prayer request. And so thank you for praying for us. We pray for you, and we're going to continue to do that. If you are visiting with us today, we've been going through Hebrews, and we have been going through this whole book, and now we find ourselves right here at the end of Hebrews. And the author is closing out his words. And so the scripture today is very, very important as he's closing out. What do you say here as you close your time out with someone? What are your final words? In recent days, there's been a couple of you in this room that have had the opportunity to say closing words or final words to someone. If you've ever thought about that, and many of you have, sometimes it's a little more on the front of your radar than others, you think, what do I say? This is the last time I'm going to be with this person. What do I communicate? What am I going to give to them? How am I going to say, here it is? Some of you have had this experience when you're standing there with your child and they're about ready to go into this college university experience, and you're meeting their roommate for the very first time, and you're like, oh boy, who in the world is this guy or this gal? And go for it. And so then you give those final words. Change your sheets, brush your teeth, and don't forget to use deodorant. I mean, what do you say? I mean, how important are those? And we see this in Scripture. We see this in Scripture. In Genesis, there comes a time when Jacob is ready to go. And so he comes in and he blesses his sons. He grabs them and he says, here's what I want to tell you. And you find that in Genesis. You see Joseph and him blessing his sons. And if you've ever read the scripture, you see some of the hand movements that happen in a couple of those blessings that take place. And those are interesting parts of the story. And then we see Jesus. He's in the upper room with his 12 disciples. What does he tell them? What does he give as the last words to his disciples before he is crucified? We see Jesus telling his disciples, this is what you need to do. And thus this author is closing out his book. Some of us have lost a loved one unexpectedly. In those moments, we wish, oh, I wish I could have said, ah. Sometimes when I meet with a family, I will ask them that question. If your grandpa or your dad or your uncle or whomever it might be, grandma was able to be here, what would you want to say? And it's so peaceful when the person says, I've not in a mean way, but they would say, I've said what I've needed to say, and my loved one knows. But it's in those moments when the person's like, oh man, I wish I, and not in a mean way. And so what does this author have to say to us as we close out the book of Hebrews? Now, I will say I'm closing it out, but I'm actually preaching from verse 25 next week. Grace be with all of you. And so you want to be here, and if you can be, if you're not away, I'm going to talk about grace and what that means. But what does this author say in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 to 24? If you'd follow along as I read, it's on the screen behind me, or feel free to follow along in your Bible. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. Let me pause for a moment. Some of you are like, we've went through Hebrews a little more than just briefly, because it's been quite some time. I've written to you briefly. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. The first thing I want you to catch from this is, now may the God of peace. God is a God of peace. God provides peace. Do you know his peace today? If you don't know God's peace, then you fidget in a church service. You fidget when people ask you about Christ and how you're doing. You're like, well, I'm okay. John Piper says this, God is like a great ocean, calm in himself. God is a God of peace. When there is turmoil, and there is turmoil, God's peace can uplift us. 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of disorder, but of peace. And this author is writing this after finishing up talking about all these things in his letter. Let me give you some of the things he talked about in his letter. One, he talked about Jesus being a faithful high priest. He talked about God's word being living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. He talked to us and talked to these people of the Hebrews, said, you can draw near to the throne with confidence. He went on to say, you need to leave the elementary doctrines. He said, God is unchangeable. He talked about Abraham and Melchizedek. He talked about tithing. He talked about Christ being able to save us to the uttermost. He mentioned that Christ is the mediator. He said that Christ's blood was shed for each of us. He mentioned this, let us draw near to God. Chapter 11, we went through that over the summer. Faith. Without faith is impossible to please God. Then we went on to chapter 12, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and that cloud of witnesses that are there for us, cheering us on. He mentions that we are always with the Lord. He mentions this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Last week, pray for your leaders. And then he says this, now may the God of peace. God is a God of peace. I don't know if you caught this or not, but I want you to catch this. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything. We're going to talk about equipping in just a few minutes. God is a God of peace, And he brought Jesus from the dead. Peace was brought to us by bringing Jesus from the dead. I want you to catch this concept this morning if you can. What is this saying? When Jesus died, go back to that time. When Jesus died, I believe there was great unrest. There wasn't rest. There wasn't peace. The curtain was torn in two. His disciples fled. And they're like, where did Jesus go? This wasn't supposed to happen. This isn't a peaceful time. This is a great unrestful time. The disciples were perplexed. How could there be peace? Sometimes when a loved one passes, there is great peace. Some of you have had a loved one that's lingered, suffered, had great difficulty, and then when they pass, there is something about a peace that comes because you're like, finally, they're at home and in heaven. Some of you understand that. But there's others of you who somebody is all of a sudden ripped away and they die unexpectedly or something happens and you're like, how can there be peace in that? Maybe something has to die in order for life to come. I'm going to repeat that. Maybe something has to die in order for life to come. Now, we're not to spring yet. We're a long time from spring. We haven't had that much of a winter yet, which I'm thankful for. But sometimes something needs to be pruned in order for new life to come. And so I ask the question of each of us today, have you died yet? Have you died yet? All of us are physically living, I understand that. But we have to die to ourselves in order to live to Christ. And may the God of peace, who brought again the from the dead our Lord Jesus, and he came to life, and wow, we got the blood of the new covenant. Scripture says, I am crucified with Christ. It is not longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The author is saying this, I think. Though the world thought he was dead, he was not, and peace comes. Here's what a commentator says. When a man's mind and heart are distracted and he is torn in two between the two sides of his own nature, it is only by giving his life into the control of God that he can know peace. It is only the God of peace who can make us at peace with ourselves, at peace with each other, and at peace with himself. In Romans chapter 15, verse 33, Paul says these words, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. So I ask the question, are you at peace? Is there peace in your soul? Or I ask this question, what area of your life needs peace right now? And I say this, may the God of peace fill that. May the God of peace fill that. He goes on to talk about the great shepherd of the sheep. This is a great picture. I like this. A great shepherd. Pastors are given the task of being shepherds, and even you get to be a shepherd. Psalm 23:1, many of you know this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The author is telling us, you have a shepherd, one who will direct, one who will guide, one who will instruct. It's interesting, this whole concept of being a shepherd is not mentioned anywhere in Hebrews. Anywhere until the final end. And he says, now let me tell you, the great shepherd of the sheep is going to help you. In Isaiah 63, verse 11, then you remember the days of old of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put the midst of them his Holy Spirit? We at this time of the year, we kind of start thinking about thinking about shepherds out in the fields, and when the angels came and made the great announcement, a good shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep listen to his voice. In John chapter 10, it talks about the good shepherd. In verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, And my own know me, in John 14, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus knows each of us as the good shepherd, and he's willing to help you. Are you being led by the shepherd today? Or let me switch it around. Where do you need the Lord's or the shepherd's leading today? Shepherd has the staff. And if you look through Psalm 23, Lord is my shepherd. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Where do you need the shepherd's leading today? He goes on in this. May the God of peace, verse 21, equip you with everything good that you may do his will. God is not equipping each of us with bad things. He's not trying to say, boy, I sure hope God equips you with good things here. I don't think that's what he's saying. I think he's just saying, now may God equip you with everything good. It's kind of like a mom or a dad saying, okay, now go do it. May God equip you. We can be equipped for many things. If you're involved in sports, you know you need to have the right gear to wear. You need to have the proper equipment. If you're going to a job, you need the right equipment as well. If you need a laptop, you need a laptop. If you need a pencil, you need a pencil. You got to be ready for the job. If you're going to school, you need the supplies that you have to have an eraser because you're going to mess up. You need the things you need for school. You need to be equipped. If you're going on a Christmas trip, some of you might be going on a Christmas trip. You're going through the list of things that you need, and don't forget the presents, because the presents have to go as well. And how are we going to pack it all so we don't pack everything and get everything on top of the things that we don't want that are fragile? I think we all like to be equipped for the things in front of us. If we are to give a speech on something, we want to be well informed in that, so we're not like, thank you. We don't want to do that. We want to be able to communicate well. If you're babysitting, you want to have toys and milk and diapers. You want to have diapers and wipes. You want to have those. You want to be well equipped. Now, I brought with me today some camping gear. Now, I didn't set the tent up because, if we set the tent up, then we couldn't see the little nativity. But I have brought with me a tent. I have brought with me a sleeping bag, a cooler, and a cot. Now, some of you are, why do we need a cot? Just let me sleep on the ground. And there's many of you like, oh, please, can you put a little more padding on that cot too? Please make it like my bed. Now, if I was to go camping, I want to be well equipped, don't you? But am I missing anything with my camping gear? All right, give me something I'm missing. I need a cook stove, probably, unless I'm going to have dried food the whole time, but I don't have any food, okay? Cook stove. What else am I missing? Backpack, flashlight, matches. I don't have any wood for my matches, but I probably should get some wood, possibly. Need a flashlight, yes? What else?
Tarp.
A what?
Tarp.
I need a tarp. It's not going to rain, Zach. When I go camping, it never rains. Amen to that? I mean, have any of you ever been camping when it rained? I mean, seriously. I mean, yeah. You guys camp in the wrong places, I guess. I don't know. I've never camped when it rains. No? God always provides nice, sunny, about a 75-degree night. Stars are out. Kids never fuss. No back pain. It's a wonderful camping experience. What else am I missing? S'mores? I'm missing s'mores. And Wheezy said I'm missing a hotel. Hot tub? What else am I missing? Clothes? I don't have clothes. I need to have that, especially if it gets down to a little bit chillier in the hills. This is not a good thing, you know. I have a cook stove, but I don't have any materials to flip that. You ever try to do that? You show up at your campsite and you're like, how am I going to flip that hamburger? I need a shotgun for my camping trip? Cook your own food. Here we go. I don't have any fishing gear. So if I want to go fishing, some of you like to cook fish over the fire. Why? I don't know. But some of you like to do that. Something else I'm missing. Family. Come on up here. No, I'm joking. You don't have to come up here today. But yeah, you want to take your family with you? What else? Missing a Bible? I don't have a Bible. Yes, that's a great thing to have on a camping trip. A hatchet? Probably need a hatchet because you need to chop down some trees or something. Am I missing anything else? First aid kit. Who said first aid kit? Sue, we're not going to have any troubles on our camping trip. We might need a first aid kit on the camping trip. Bug spray. Who said that? Yeah. How many of you have been, swarmed by mosquitoes? And yeah, that's, yeah. Get in the tent. How'd that one get in here? Yeah, Anything else I'm missing? Sunscreen? Shotgun, I need some deer. Well, hopefully we find those.
We also need some ammunition.
Ammunition. If you have the shotgun, you got to take some ammunition along with you. Then you need a license. Boy, this is getting complicated. You need some bear whistle or bear. Yeah, you need something like that. Yeah. See, I want you to catch this just in a visual today. I believe this. God equips you, and He is equipping you. When you first go on your first camping trip, you probably took a sleeping bag and a pillow and thought, I'm just going to live off the land. But then as you get a little older and a little wiser, a little more cranky if you have to sleep on the ground, a little more understanding, you go like to Cabela's and you're like, wow, I can like be home away from home here. This is incredible. Some of you have said, why would you ever even think about going in a tent because you have a vehicle and you can pull a camper behind? I mean, that's camping. Or why even go camping and be in a hotel? But God equips you with these things spiritually. And this is what the author is saying. May He equip you with everything good. One of the ways that we can be equipped is through the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training for righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2018 is just a couple of days away. Do you have a plan to read through the Bible in 2018? You should. Everybody here should read through the Bible in 2018. Well, I'm not a very good reader. Okay, so go listen to it. Several years ago, I encouraged you to read through the Bible. And I encourage you to do that again in 2018. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. He equips us with His word that we receive every day. I think something else, though, God has equipped each of us a little differently. Sometimes we think we need to do such and such, and because this is how a friend or neighbor is doing it. And that may be the case, but God has wired each of us in a way to serve, lead in that way. And God has equipped you, and He is going to be equipping you further. I like how the King James renders this verse. And here's what the King James says. Maybe you brought your King James this morning. Now may God make you perfect. Now may God make you perfect. Now, some of you as husbands and wives in the room are asking that of the Lord to make your spouse perfect. He's making each of us perfect. Isn't that incredible? God is making you into the person He wants you to be. Now, I have to go back in Hebrews here. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. That's how we're made perfect at times. That's how He equips us, is He makes us perfect through suffering. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1. Make perfect those who draw near. We can only be made perfect when we draw near. When we find out the more things that we need, are we able to be made perfect? In 12, verse 23, and to the spirit of the righteous made perfect. You catch this? The spirit of the righteous. The reason why I'm saying this, I'm not giving you clearance just to go do everything, but sometimes our actions are not what our spirit wants to be. And so God is bringing our spirit and making it perfect for the days to come. Thoroughly equipping you. He equips, but we must use those things in order for us to succeed. We just can't leave them down. So are you using everything that God has given you as he's been equipping you? And so maybe as you're thinking on this equipping, where do you need to be equipped today? May the God of peace equip you with everything good, that you may do his will. In verses 22, 23, and 24, he gives some final greetings. He's like, oh yes, don't forget this. And don't forget about Timothy. Don't forget to greet the leaders. Send them greetings as well. It's interesting the word he uses in verse 22. He says this, I appeal to you, brothers. He doesn't say children, which would bring about a different connotation. I appeal to you, brothers. And so let me do the same with you. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters. Bear with the word that has been given. The group obviously knows Timothy, and thinking of them receiving this news about Timothy, he's been released. And just last week we talked about being with, having broken fellowship with somebody, and this would just be a wonderful thing. Hey, Timothy's been released, and I'm sure they were excited about that. What would be your final greetings? We all think that we may live another year, another day, another month, but I encourage you to live each day as your last. Now, I'm not hoping that it's your last, but around your Christmas table. Those final words, if it was the last time with so-and-so and such, what would they receive from you? Would they receive the growl across the table like, you are, or would they receive a peaceful look from you? The author says, I appeal to you. It is said that Harriet Tubman gathered her family around her when she died, and they sang. And they say that her last words were, swing low, sweet chariot. And the chariot took her home. Maybe they're not profound words to you, but they are words that are said by this author for this group of people. And I encourage you this Christmas season to share ones of love and exhortation. So I encourage you, I go back, and I encourage you in this way. What area of your life needs peace? I'm going to pray for that in just a couple of minutes. Where do you need the shepherd's leading today? Where do you need to be equipped? And what are those words that you need to say to someone? In just a couple of moments, I'm going to have you stand. I'm going to pray for you. And at the end of the prayer, I'm actually going to read to you again this benediction. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer today? Just spend a couple of moments in silent prayer as God has talked to you today. Lord Jesus, in the quietness of this moment, we bow before you, thanking you that you are a God who loves us so very much. I pray specifically for somebody here this morning who, when they read this God of peace, they don't see you as a God of peace because there's a bunch of turmoil. I pray that whatever is ongoing in their life, that you would be a God of peace all throughout this room. I pray that we would be peace agents because you give us your peace. So Lord, where there's unrest, I pray for peace for that man or for that woman. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would be the great shepherd to one of your sheep today that needs leading and guidance. God, I pray that you would equip someone here today. They need to be equipped with something. Your word says that you will equip them with everything good. So I pray that you would equip that person with patience, with kindness, with love, with direction, with wisdom, with understanding. May you equip them well. And then, Lord Jesus, may we be ones in our final words or whatever words we share. May they be righteous and holy in your sight. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for coming today.